today on Anchored in the Word.
The confidence is this, that he's using the vessel and he is praying, he's putting his desires, because God's not going to change for me. What he's doing is he's changing me in the process of prayer. But God answers prayer. And I know that, you know, we don't always get it right, but sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we pray right and God has actually answered our prayers. And have you been surprised by it? Sometimes? Yeah, especially when you wait for a while, right? So much time has gone by. Maybe you prayed it a couple of times and then so much time goes by and then the prayer gets answered. You go like, I prayed that.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. God answers prayer. The evidence is abundant, both today and throughout the Bible. As Pastor Bill teaches today, Paul was a man of prayer, and his experiences should cause us to consider our own attitudes towards prayer. Are we honoring prayer as a powerful tool used by God? We're learning as we go, but it starts with us seeking Him. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
It says in verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, and by the way, isn't that part of the process of the fire? When it's cold, you go get some sticks and throw it on, and you want the fire to get warmer and warmer. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened to his hand. And I'm thinking, my worst nightmare. You know, it's one thing. It would gross me out that there would be a snake in the sticks that I just picked up. But the fact that he grabs onto your hand, you throw the sticks in the fire and he's like, and grabs your hand. I mean, you're sitting there. It's like, oh man, that's my worst nightmare. But the grace of God. I'm sure Paul didn't like things like that either. So the serpent grabbed him and fastened to his hand. Verse 4 says, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. You know, they're making the judgment, you know. They knew that they were all prisoners, and sure, you wonder about prisoners. What did he do? What did he do? But they're thinking, you know, they're making a judgment here, and their judgment is wrong. But God did want them to see that. I'm convinced that God had them there. He wanted them to partake of this little episode here. And so it says in verse 5, Paul, and I love this, and you watch Paul in his life, and he did this a number of times. He did it literally here, but figuratively, Paul did this. It says that he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Paul, in his life, he seemingly could just shake things off. I mean, here's a guy that was shipwrecked three times, they say maybe four times. Would you ever get on a boat again? I mean, if you were in three plane, because they use boats like we use planes, if you were in three, survived three plane crashes, would you go on another plane? Would you think, well, maybe I should take another mode? Maybe let's get a bus or something. But the grace of God, see? The grace of God, he overcame his fears. But it says in verse 5, and it's our second point, where we get our confidence in God is, he says he suffered no harm. God's protection. So we got God's promises. And the second point here in verse 5 is God's protection. Now, Mark 16:18, I want you to turn there. This is a biblical promise for those that preach the gospel. And I believe that we're all called to preach the gospel, by the way. And Mark 16:18, as Jesus was giving the Great Commission, to go forth and preach to all creatures. Preach to all people. Go into the whole world, he says, and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says in verse 17, we'll start it in verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, this was a promise of God. This is a direct fulfillment of that word that Yet Paul was in the business of preaching the gospel. He was just doing what he was called to do and building a fire, and a serpent grabbed him, and that was God's protection. That was God's direct protection. I believe that was a poisonous snake. I believe that those natives did know what kind of snakes were on that island. And we'll see it as we go to the next couple of verses. They believed it so much, there was not one doubt in their mind. Maybe that wasn't a poisonous snake after all. Maybe we just thought it was, because we'll see what happened to Paul. But it says there in verse 5 that he suffered no harm. God's protection. You know, there are those that take that verse in Mark, that one verse, and they have made doctrine by it, and they have their worship services by taking poisonous snakes. I think this is somewhere in Virginia. But anyway, they actually take rattlesnakes and they get in these corrals and they handle rattlesnakes as part of their worship, and they see that as exercising faith. You know, and even if they get bit by a poisonous snake, by the way, people have died in this way. So I don't know why they're, how many of people dying does it take them to realize, well, maybe we misinterpreted the scriptures on this one. Because that's really testing God. And you can do the same thing with this idea of faith and confidence in God. Remember, it's not a confidence in confidence. It's a confidence in God. It's not a faith in faith. It's a faith in God. And so they've misinterpreted what God has said is, as you're going out, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. And if you're supposed to get bit by a poisonous snake and die, then it will happen. But God didn't fail. That's just the way that you were to leave. Otherwise, I'm going to protect you. And so this was a case where God was just protecting. It wasn't Paul's time. He hadn't been to Rome yet, remember? It says he suffered no harm. So we see God's promises, God's protection. And it says in verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. This must have been a very poisonous snake. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, you know, you notice they didn't say, maybe we didn't see that snake right. Maybe that was a such and such and not a such and such. No, it says that they changed their minds and said that he was a god. They went from one extreme to the other. Now, here's what they're seeing. They're getting warm in the sense that they're recognizing something supernatural that just took place. Because they'd seen these snakes bite people before, and probably every other time that this had happened, the result was they swelled up and died. But this time it was different, and so they recognize that there's something divine about this. But the problem is they want to make Paul divine, and it wasn't Paul was divine. There was a divine one that was protecting him. So they were on the right track to a degree, but again, their confidence really was put in the wrong place. It was put in a man. And so we see God's protection again. They thought he was a god. Verse 7, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Now, you talk about God's protection. Look what God does. They go from a shipwrecked people sitting in front of a fire, and then next thing you know, the richest guy on the island, the most important guy on the island, they're going to hang out at his house for a while. Think about that. They go to the big mansion on the hill, and shipwrecked people never had it so good. And it says, he received us, verse 7, and he entertained us courteously for 3 days. Verse 8, and it happened. And you see that in the Bible. And it happened. Because, you know, so many times when you're in the midst of walking with the Lord and you're suffering shipwreck and a snake fall, you know, the snake goes into the fire, you know, this thing's happening. You're just wondering, Lord, I know you got me here for a reason. I'm just not sure what it is yet. And then it happened. You know, it's almost like, well, you see, now I know. I think why this is, we don't know at all. You know what I'm getting at? When you realize, now I get it, God. I see the plan, your plan. But it says, and it happened that as the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, Paul went into him and prayed. Now, the third reason that you have to have confidence in God, and Paul certainly experienced a lot of this in his life. He's about to experience it right here in verse 8. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. Look what happens. It says that he's sick. Paul prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. He prayed. He laid his hands and then he healed him. But what we're seeing here is an answer to prayer. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever answered one of your prayers? God answers prayers. It's amazing. I mean, I know if I had enough confidence in God, I should just not even think it's amazing. It's just like, that's who he is. Why wouldn't I think that? Every prayer that I pray, I should have an expectation that it's going to be answered. Well, the problem is every prayer I've ever prayed hasn't been answered yet. And some of the reason why is, I'll tell you this, is because I don't always pray aright. Yeah, there's a right way to pray. I mean, Jesus prayed right when he was on the earth. His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we don't always pray right. Sometimes we pray selfishly. James talked about that. He talked about just, it would be a selfish prayer. It's all about me, what I want and what I think. You know, the Bible talks about this, praying in the Spirit. The Bible talks about praying according to God's will. Anything that you will ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. But it wasn't just any prayer from anybody. It means praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? It doesn't mean just praying in tongues. I believe in that. I believe you can pray by the Spirit that way. But I believe it means more than that. Praying in the Spirit means this. It means led by the Spirit. That means that his desires, he lays them on a tablet to my heart. When I'm praying, God put that on my heart and I'm praying it. And that's when I'm praying in the Spirit. And that's when I'm praying those prayers, they're going to come to pass. That's powerful praying. They're going to come to pass. And so there is a learning how to pray. It's a process that God puts us through as we pray. And the more that you pray, the more that you will learn how to pray. The more that you sit and commune with God, the more that you will learn. So here's the reality about praying. The more that you pray, the more your prayers are going to be answered. Not just because you've got more quantity out there, but there's going to be more quality, if you know what I'm talking about. You're praying according to God's will. And that's not a cop-out. That's not a lack of faith. That's a confidence in God. That the confidence is this, that he's using the vessel and he is praying. He's putting his desires, because God's not going to change for me. What he's doing is he's changing me in the process of prayer. But God answers prayer. And I know that, you know, we don't always get it right, but sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we pray right and God has actually answered our prayers. And have you been surprised by it? Sometimes. Yeah, especially when you wait for a while, right? So much time has gone by. Maybe you prayed it a couple of times and then so much time goes by and then the prayer gets answered. You go like, I prayed that a long time ago and I forgot about it. But here it is. It happened. God reminds you. You know, don't worry. If you get a bad memory, don't worry about it. Don't worry about losing your memory, because I'm going to tell you something. There's a blessing in that too to be had. But God can even overcome that, because he says the promises that the Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that he has shown us, the important things. You know, all the little songs about Gilligan's Island and the Belvedere Hillbillies that I can't get out of my head 35, 40 years, those things aren't important. But the things that are important, God will bring them back to the forefronts of our mind. He answers prayer. Paul prayed over that man and he got healed. Now I'm going to say something to you. I've prayed for people that didn't get healed. I mean, as far as I can see. Now, the word that God's given me, when somebody dies of their illness, they're healed. Do you agree with that? I mean, are they suffering anymore? You know? I mean, even the cancer has to die then. You know that? I mean, the cancer dies when the person dies. They can't live anymore. Now, where's the person if they know Christ? You know, the better the day of their death. So in a sense, even though I can't see them, that prayer has been answered in maybe a different way. In this particular case, the man got miraculously healed. That still happens today. God has a purpose in physical healing today. He's got a purpose in it. And it always points to a better healing, the spiritual healing, the one that lasts forever, the one that Jesus always preached about. In other words, these things were signs. Not dying from a poisonous snake and casting out demons and all these things that were talked about in Mark 16, they're are signs. And a sign is something that points you to something else. So it's not just about the healing. It's about the healer. Who healed him? Who do we have confidence in? Is it in Paul? Or is it in the one that he prayed to before he laid the hands on? And by the way, he was doing that out of obedience, because he was told to do it that way, to lay hands on it, to pray. And so our confidence is never in the vessel, but it's always in God. And Paul had answered prayers, and it gave him a confidence in God. And that's, you will get a confidence in your God by him answering your prayers. But if he's not answering your prayers, or maybe you think in the past you prayed a prayer and it didn't happen, somebody died, So you know that that's the end of that prayer of the healing thing, right? No, that's not the end. They did get healed if they knew the Lord. They're in a better place. But perhaps you were praying wrong. And that happens too. You weren't praying according to God's will. So we're learning as we go. The more you pray, the more you will learn how to pray. So we got God's promises. We've got God's protection. We got God-answered prayers. Verse 9. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And why not? Word traveled quickly. You know, there's a man on this island that's got, you know, and everybody came. And it says, as a result, those who had diseases also came and were healed. You know, the interesting thing about this passage here is we're not going to see one word here until the end. When he's in Rome, he starts talking about preaching. We're not going to hear really that Paul was preaching. Paul was giving out the gospel, but I guarantee you he was. You know, what I think is interesting about this passage on healing, the guy who wrote this, the guy who penned this was a physician. Can you imagine that? A physician sitting there and looking, it's like, did I waste all my time in school? I mean, he never went to med school, Paul didn't. And he goes up and he prays and they get healed. It's like, what am I doing? I'm doing it a different way. And they're like, well, there was probably a lesson to be learned there for doctors. I mean, you know, you've heard it, you've seen it. A lot of them this day have a lot of confidence in themselves because they get to see really God's hand at work and they take the credit. He uses people. You know, I think it's perfect that they call it a practice because that's what they're doing very much of the time as they're practicing. But anyway, I'm not against doctors. I'm just saying we need to all be put in our place. We're vessels used by God. And our confidence should not be in man, but in him, in God. So they all came and they were healed. And then verse 10, it says, and this is our fourth point. Verse 10 says, they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So these guys had lost everything that were on the ship. They escaped with their lives and the clothes they had on their bodies. That's it. And, you know, you get some things that float in. You know, I can't help but think of Gilligan's Island. They had everything there, man. Every week they had something float up. But the point is, you don't have anything in a shipwreck. That was TV. Reality is, you know, that doesn't happen. So they were needy people. They had nothing. And God put it on these people's hearts to give them everything it says there that was necessary. And so the fourth thing I want us to see that gives us confidence in God is God's provision. How many meals have you missed? I mean, we're in America. In your life, how many meals have you really missed? Hey, I say, well, I lost my job and I see this happening. My 401k is now a 201k because it's half of what it used to be. Okay, I can't deny any of that and I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying, is God taking care of you? Because that's the promise. If you're a Christian, the promise is that God will take care of you. It says they're very important to see that. The things which were necessary. That's a key there, folks. The things that are necessary, he says he'll take care of. Not the things that you want, that you think they're a need, but they're really a want and not a need at all. God never says that he's going to do that. He's not going to give you something that's going to harm you. He's going to take care of your necessities. Again, this idea is found in Matthew 6:33, where God's talking about worrying, because we can worry about not having enough of our needs met. If you get on that page, it's going to end up in worry. And that's what he was addressing in Matthew 6. And he says, seek first. He's telling them now how to stop worrying. You have confidence in man, you're going to end up worrying. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added on to you. Get your priorities straight. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. He was doing the work of God, doing what he was called to do. And lo and behold, he puts it on these other people's hearts to give them their necessities. You know, to give them what they need to continue their journey. So God takes care of our provision. Do you know? And do you believe this morning? Or has God ever came through for you in a situation where many times, I know he'll put us in situations where we'll be needy, right? Where we're thinking, oh, and it's almost the last hour and it seems like, how is this going to happen? You know, before, as men especially, we try and figure that, well, I can do that, and listen, if that happens, that, and you try and work it out. God brings us to a place where these guys on the boat were in the last chapter. They'd given up all hope. I've given up all hope and confidence in myself. I know I've done it before, but now I just can't see how it's going to happen now. I give up. And God says, good. Because now when I work, when you see that I did it, I'm going to get the glory. And your confidence is not going to be in you, it's going to be in me. And so God provides his way. And many times in our lives, it's not that you're lacking and your God's forgotten about you. It's that he's giving you his provision in a way that isn't just so you can eat again or so you can have something. It's so that you will learn something too. And so God's provision, Paul had seen God's provision. He said, you know, I've learned to be content, whether I had a lot or whether I had nothing. I mean, here he is. He's shipwrecked on one moment. The next moment, he's hanging out at the biggest mansion, you know, on the island. That's having nothing, and then you're hanging out for 3 days. Well, it's only for 3 days. That's all right. God provided that. They needed that, apparently, to be encouraged to hang out in the mansion for 3 days. So we've got God's promises, God's protection, God's answered prayers, and God's provision. Verse 11, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers. In other words, the figurehead is those little, you've seen those figurines that they carve into the front of the boat there. That's pagan superstition. But anyway, he's just describing the boat whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, not Syracuse, New York, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. That's a good thing when you're sailing. And the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And the fifth point is this. And this is important. You need to hear this point. It's God's people. Now hear this. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the gathering together of God's people. We need one another. We need one another to build our faith in God. God has designed us to be a unit, to be knit together. That is by itself, not just a witness to the world, by the way. The world will know that we are his disciples by the love we had for one another. But there is a dynamic that takes place, that is taking place right now as the people of God gather together and talk to one another. There is a dynamic taking place when we pray for one another. When I'm seeing the work of God in your life, you know, I'm seeing God in you in ways that I can't see God in me. That's the way God designed it. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. And that is the reason in Hebrews 10, turn there, 24 and 25. Listen to this. This isn't a suggestion. This is a commandment. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another. One another. The one another. It's a great study to do in the Bible. The one another's. Look those words up.
Pastor Bill will continue teaching through the book of Acts the next time you join us. You know, programs like Anchored in the Word can be a huge blessing that God uses in the lives of countless people. But we must always be careful about just hearing God's Word. Remember what James said? But be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. As you join us each day here on Anchored in the Word, it's our hope and prayer that you would not only hear God's Word, but that you would be a doer of God's Word, that you would take the lessons that you're learning here on Anchored in the Word and apply them to your everyday life. We want to help you continue to apply God's Word to your life. We have resources to help you in this journey. Log on to anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through Acts. That's all the time we have for today. Make plans to join us again for the next edition of Anchored in the Word.